Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a Georgia Power solar farm in Middle Georgia gets an upgrade. Emory researchers test a new way to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, and Mike Collins spoke at the GOP's first ever midterm convention.
And because of our work, y'all, over 20,000 criminal illegal aliens are off our streets, behind bars, or back where they came from.
Today is Thursday, September 10th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. A Georgia Power solar farm in Middle Georgia, already considered an asset by the U.S. Air Force, now has an upgrade, GPB's Grant Blankenship reports.
The Robins Air Force Base solar site has been generating electricity for years in former farmland in Macon, just north of the base. Now a new array of batteries at the site will store 128 megawatts of solar power, enough for thousands of homes on the proverbial rainy day when solar panels struggle. Colonel Jahari Hemphill commands the 78th Air Base Wing at Robins. He says the batteries will help the Air Force ensure mission readiness.
We have our own power plant, we have our own steam plants, but this opportunity for solar power and now with battery power gives us extra ability to keep the mission going.
The Robins site is the fifth of 15 Battery Energy Storage Systems, or BESS, that Georgia Power is building to help cope with skyrocketing energy needs. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Representative Mike Collins addressed Republican voters last night at the party's first ever midterm convention. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Representative Collins spoke after a video featuring the family of Lakin Riley, a nursing student murdered by an undocumented immigrant in 2024. Collins touted his authoring of the Lakin Riley Act, which requires detention without bond for non-citizens accused of crimes ranging from burglary to causing the death of another person.
And because of our work, y'all, over 20,000 criminal illegal aliens are off our streets, behind bars, or back where they came from.
Collins also painted his opponent, incumbent Senator John Ossoff, as a radical who opposed the bill. But Ossoff was among a dozen Democrats to vote for the Lakin Riley Act, helping to send it to President Trump's desk in the second week of his second term. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Researchers with Emory University School of Medicine recently completed their first human trial of transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. The procedure uses magnetic pulses to calm the fear center of the brain. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
When Abigail Parnum was 16, the dog she'd had since she was 5 had died. And so she sobbed with excitement when her dad agreed to get a puppy.
Brutus. He was the sweetest boy. He was like a Velcro dog. All he ever wanted to do was be like attached to you at the hip. And he was a very good boy.
A good boy with some behavioral issues, she says. Then, 2 years later, when Parnum was 18, Brutus, the 200-pound African Mastiff, attacked her.
I went to reach down to go hook a leash up to his collar, and that's when he lunged at my chest and he got the side of my arm. And I remember just thinking, like, I can't believe this is happening to me right now.
Parnum says up until then, she had never been afraid of a dog. But after the attack, she couldn't even look at her family's golden retriever.
You know, I realized how outrageous it was, but there was nothing I could do to combat that fear that was so ingrained in me at that point.
The life or death fear kept returning. That's a hallmark of post-traumatic stress disorder. People with PTSD have a more active fear center in the brain, called the amygdala. So that's where Sana Van Roy with Emory University School of Medicine started her study of transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS.
So every day we're going to assess for safety and just check.
And so what we know in PTSD, individuals will have a stronger response to anything potentially threatening. And so the amygdala is hyperreactive, so hyper-responsive to anything that signals potential threat or danger.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the non-invasive treatment for people with depression in 2008. In Van Roy's PTSD research, it works like this. While the amygdala is the fear center of the brain, Van Roy says the secondary locations for fear response in the brain are different for different people. So, TMS is targeted to those second locations.
Everyone had their own specific location that was stimulated with TMS in order to indirectly dampen the amygdala.
We're gonna do that again.
A helmet that looks like a hairdryer covers the patient's head. Meanwhile, they're asked to think to themselves about their trauma and talk through coping skills while the magnets pulse as controlled by a technician. Van Roy says this lessens the fear response from the amygdala.
So it basically changes how easily it is for your brain to respond to something.
Abigail Parnum participated in 36 TMS sessions focusing on depression, anxiety, and cognition over the course of 2 months, but not for PTSD. She says she felt the color return to her black and white world immediately after her first session. Another side effect? She's less scared of big dogs today.
I am able to walk by a house without having a meltdown because I know that there's a big dog that lives there, which has been a outrageously amazing change for me.
On a hike at Lanierland Park in Forsyth County, she even brings her own dogs.
This one's Clover. Clover's the little one. She's about 7 pounds.
Clover's a small, fluffy dog that resembles a teddy bear. Her dog, BMO, gets his name from the favorite cartoon, Adventure Time. He's bigger.
And BMO's just a hound dog mix, glorified hound dog.
Today, Parnum works in an animal hospital in Cumming. She's in training to be a vet technician. Parnum says she plans to have the TMS treatment for PTSD when it's available to her. Meanwhile, Van Roy says her research will continue. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
The DeKalb County Board of Education says it will vote next week on making Dr. Norman Soss III the finalist to become the district's superintendent. Soss has been the interim superintendent since November. Prior to that, Soss served as chief of student services. He's also held roles including area superintendent for DeKalb County's high schools and principal of Chamblee High School. If approved, the board will take a final vote on October 5th. The previous superintendent, Devin Q. Horton, resigned last year after the U.S. attorney indicted him on 17 charges for acts at his former job. The practice home of the Ghost Pirates in Southeast Georgia's Port Wentworth is planning a ribbon-cutting Saturday for its new ViStar Pavilion and Ghost Pirates Ice Cove. The free event kicks off at 11 a.m. and features live music, family-friendly activities, games, crafts, local vendors, food trucks, and public skating. It's part of 912 Day, Southeast Georgia's area code, planned for September 12th. Five-time Grammy Award winner, singer, songwriter, and humanitarian Angelique Kidjo is visiting Athens this week as UGA's Wilson Center for Humanities and Arts Delta Visiting Chair for Global Understanding. Laura Dua-Swartz has more.
Kijo's three-day residency as chair kicked off with a conversation with students in a survey class in world music Tuesday, followed by a live taping of WUGA's African Perspectives Wednesday night at the 40 Watt. Speaking with show host Dr. Akinloye Ojo Wednesday night, Kijo spoke to the idea of globalization.
You cannot live in a world where many people live in filth and few live largely. Nature don't like unbalance. Globalization will only exist fully and really profiting everybody when we all together refuse a system that disenfranchises people.
Tonight, Angelique Kidjo will conclude her residency with a performance at Hodgson Concert Hall. For GPB News, I'm Laura Dua-Swartz.
In sports, the Atlanta Dream's Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever showed their growing chemistry on the court together as they helped the U.S. defeat Hungary 108-56 to advance to the semifinals of the Women's FIBA World Cup. Their interactions are a subplot of both the tournament and the season as a whole. Both players are intense and animated competitors, and their fan bases are fiercely loyal, and generally speaking, fans on social media favor one or the other. But both Clark and Reese say they are having fun playing together. Clark said many of the stories about their relationship are false takes, saying she loves the fiery competitiveness that she and Reese share. The U.S. plays its next matchup on Saturday in Berlin. The U.S. Open Tennis Championships are underway, with more Americans with shots at winning than in decades. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports.
Atlanta locals Coco Gauff and Ben Shelton are in the semifinals of the U.S. Open after two dramatic matches. Shelton won his match with a record late finish after 3 a.m. Before coaching his son, Ben's father, Brian Shelton, played at Georgia Tech alongside current men's tennis coach Kenny Thorne. Thorne says the people in Atlanta that grew up with Ben are still rooting for him.
They're pulling for him. They're like, I had more people. He finished at 3:30 in the morning, his last match. I had more people saying I stayed up the whole time. And so I go, really? You sailed the whole time?
Shelton will face off against Francis Tiafoe Friday, guaranteeing a Black American man will play in the finals for the first time since 1972. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news and subscribe to this podcast. It's a great way to stay on top of the news. And when you do it, we'll be popping up automatically in your podcast feed. And your feedback is welcome, of course. Send it to us by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.